Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much. I suppose you're probably over the disappointment that you're not heading out to New Zealand to defend your World Cup in a country where life is pretty much back to normal. But is it fair to say you're relieved to get to be seeing some cricket this winter, or is that too strong a word?
Yeah, relief is definitely an emotion I'm feeling. We've obviously still got 10 days to get through without getting dreaded COVID before we can get on that plane, but yeah, definitely excited that we managed to get some cricket in. Obviously, it was due to be a World Cup that we were going to be playing in, but amazing that we can get out to New Zealand and get some cricket in. It's going to be a really important tour for us. Obviously, we haven't played ODI cricket in over a year now, and we're a year out from what is going to be a huge year for us in all forms, but particularly in ODI cricket with the World Cup and the Ashes. It's going to be huge, and obviously, working towards that year, it's an important starting step, I guess, in terms of working out what our best ODI team is and getting lots of players informed for that year. And I think as well, having a big squad that we can pick from, because there's going to be so much cricket over the next 2 years, it's important that we've got that strength in depth that we can call upon when things are very busy.
You've said there, obviously, that it's you've basically been focused on T20s for the last year, so you must be delighted to be able to focus a little bit on ODIs as well on this tour.
Yeah, really happy to play some ODI cricket again. It's a format that I really enjoy playing. It's probably my favourite form as a batter to play in bar test cricket, because you have a little bit more time and you can make those really big match-winning contributions for the team. So yeah, I'm super excited to play ODI cricket again. It has been a long time. Obviously, COVID has been a big part of that. There hasn't been a huge amount of cricket all over the world. So I think it's a really important tour in the context of women's cricket internationally as well, being able to get the game on, and so much hard work has gone into getting it on as well. The goalposts have shifted quite a lot the last sort of 2 3 weeks, and our medical staff and the staff in New Zealand have been great in being flexible and making sure the tour is possible.
How much are you looking forward to going out to New Zealand, bearing in mind their record in the last 12 months with coronavirus? I mean, obviously the men's team have had their problems in South Africa, and obviously the more or less quarantined in Sri Lanka. But you'll be traveling to, like I say, a country that is out of all the cricket nations, maybe even the best nations in the world, has done well to contain the virus.
Yeah, definitely. So once we get through that 2 weeks quarantine, if nothing changes, it's going to be like normal life, which, even cricket aside, is going to be amazing just to be able to go out and go to a restaurant and go to a coffee shop and just do normal things. And obviously we've experienced as cricketers bubble life, and it's manageable, but it's not particularly fun. It's pretty dull, to be honest. It's obviously what we need to do at the moment, but just the carrot of being able to live normally and enjoy the amazing things that come with touring is something we're massively excited to do. Obviously, we've got that 2 week quarantine, but I think knowing that at the end of that we can play cricket and we can live as new normal human beings is going to make it a lot easier sitting in a room for 2 weeks.
Excellent. And just lastly from me, how are you looking forward to seeing how Izzy Wong handles herself in an international environment? Is there any chance she could be called up to the squad, or is it strictly to aid her development?
Yeah, so it's mainly for her development. We want to see Izzy around the squad, how she reacts, and give her a chance to work with Tim McDonald, our fast bowling coach, as well. We've identified someone in Izzy, someone who has real potential to play for England in the future, and that's why we're bringing her along, to expose her to different conditions and to give her different experiences. We've got no plans to use her in the squad at the moment, but obviously, if there's injuries, there's no possibility to fly anyone out. So if we have a real crisis, I guess she's there to be used. But the main reason for her to come is to see her around the squad and for her development, and to hopefully see how she gets better being around the girls and being around our coaches.
Lovely stuff. Thanks for that. Safe trip out there. Cheers, Henry.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. We'll go Raf next. Shajin, just flag a question in the chat box if you want to ask a question. As you'll see at the moment, it's Raf, then Nick, then Valkyrie. So for you as a newcomer, just let me know if you want to ask a question. Cheers. Thanks, Raf.
Hi, Heather. So Tash Farrant has been recalled to the squad a couple of years after losing her England contract. Can you kind of explain why that decision was made and what role she's likely to play in the tour?
Yeah, so we've had a few injuries. Anya and Katie George, unfortunately, have been ruled out of the tour through injuries. So we felt we wanted a bit of scene cover. We wanted someone who can bring the ball back in to the batter, because obviously that's what Katie and Anya do. So Tash performed really well towards the back end of the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy. And she's definitely still been on our radar, even though she's lost her central contract. So I think the fact that Tash has worked so hard and also the fact that those domestic contracts are in place has meant she's been training when she potentially wouldn't have done in previous years. So delighted to have Tash back in the side. She's there as cover and obviously she's got a chance to in the nets try and push for selection and show off her skills. So yeah, it's good to have her back around the group. I feel like she's matured a lot in the last couple of years, actually being away from the side. She's gone back and had to find a job as well, and she's experienced that a little bit. So I feel like as a player, she's got a bit more perspective as well in where she was, because she sort of got an England contract when she was 17 and that's all she's known. So I think she's really developed, not just as a cricketer, but also as an individual over the last 2 years.
Thanks, Raf. Nick, please.
Hi, Alan. Just following up on that, really, from that question from Raf about Tash, and I guess more widely the domestic contracts and professionalisation. How, I guess, symbolically important is Tash as a sort of as an example of what you can now do if you do fall out of the England system? Whereas I guess in the past, players were sort of left with a decision to make, and the fact that she's now come back in, and also the fact that you can bring Izzy over as a young player and sort of a project. I mean, yeah, I guess how symbolically important are they both to everyone else that maybe now sees that as a chance that wasn't before?
Yeah, so important. And having the Rachel Hayhoe Flint competition and hopefully the 100 this year as well will just give people a chance to show what they can do and show what skills they have and that they can put in performances. So it's really exciting. And Tash has been picked off the back of her performances in the Rachel Hayhoe Flint. And yeah, it's just brilliant now that if someone does lose their contract, they can obviously go into that system. And for us, it's been great as well for this trip, because it's meant Tash has been training and able to have cricket as her sole focus. So it's a great example, and it's only going to help things in the future. And with Izzy as well, she's obviously been training and having her first winter as a professional cricketer, which is super cool.
Does it already feel like there are more players maybe sort of tangibly knocking at the door because of what's gone on the last summer and the 41 pros?
I think it'll take a little bit of time, to be honest. Obviously the contracts only came in a couple of months ago, so I think it'll take a little bit of time for those players to benefit from that and really see the upskilling that being a professional cricketer can have. And I think it's been quite hard for some players as well, because there hasn't been a huge amount of cricket. But I think next summer, if we have that full domestic season, it gives those players a real chance to push their case and really knock the door down. And you can see people starting to talk about the likes of Sophie Luff, Georgia Adams, because they performed so well in those competitions. So it's really healthy for us as an England side. Sometimes that pressure from outside can bring out the best in the players that are in the team. So hopefully that happens.
And just finally, obviously didn't play an ODI last year. I mean, having won the World Cup, I guess, four years ago, and how much evolution does there have to be between that World Cup win and I guess what happens a year on from now? I mean, do you feel like you know where you are with your ODI cricket, or is that what this series is going to show you?
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually on ESPN the other day looking at some ODI stats. It's not something I do every night, but I was just having a quick look, and it's got everyone down as retired because they haven't played an ODI match for a year, which is crazy, really. But yeah, I think we started to probably see a little bit of evolution in the ODIs we did play previously. That tour to Malaysia against Pakistan, we probably saw a few changes there. I think following the Ashes series in England, where we weren't very good, we made a few changes in terms of how we want to approach things and how we want to do things. including as an ODI side. So I think we'll have to reassess that, obviously under a new coach, and look to really nail that down in the next year, how we want to do things. But we've got a really, I think, good core of players, particularly in that ODI team, that are going to be the core of the team next year. So it's just sort of tinkering that and working out what our best 11 is and how exactly we're going to go about winning games of ODI cricket.
Brilliant. Thanks, Heather. Cheers.
Thanks.
Thanks, Nick. And a lovely segue onto ESPN's own Valkyrie.
Hiya, Heather. Thanks for your time. How do you see the challenge posed by New Zealand for this tour? I mean, you've got someone like Sophie Devine on absolute fire overnight in the T20 format with the record 100. How do you sort of see the challenge that she and they pose?
Yeah, they're a good team. I think it's fair to say they've probably underperformed in ICC global competitions over the last few years, but they've got a real group of world-class performers, and you see it in the Big Bash, those Kiwis doing very well. Sophie Devine obviously had another brilliant Big Bash. You've got Amelia Kerr, who's improving all the time, and it's good to see Amy Satterthwaite back as well. She's someone I've played with and good friends with, and for her to come back after having a baby is great to see. So yeah, they're still a quality side. They probably haven't had a huge amount of depth previously, but in their home conditions, they're obviously going to be strong, and it's a real good test for us of where we're at against them, and also a chance to get used to New Zealand conditions and expose our players to that. Some of the girls won't have played in New Zealand. We haven't toured there for 5 years, I think, so it's going to be vital for us to get that experience of New Zealand conditions a year out from that World Cup.
Thank you.
Thanks, Valkyrie. Jeremy Langdon, Sky Sports News.
Yeah, hi, Heather. I mean, how much are you looking forward to 2 weeks in quarantine, and have all the girls steer clear of coronavirus so far?
Yeah, everyone's managed to, touch wood, stay clear of COVID so far, which is great. We've obviously got 10 days to get through now, and everyone's on high alert and high anxiety, actually, to try and get through the next 10 days to get on that flight. So what was the first part of your question?
I mean, how much are you looking forward to quarantine 2 weeks?
Oh, quarantine. Well, having done it before in Australia, I can't trick myself and not think about it too much, because I know exactly what it's like, which was my strategy last time. So yeah, it was tough in Australia, but this time is going to be a little bit different. We're allowed to train. It has changed slightly. We were originally allowed to train after day four, but I think the New Zealand government, understandably, are quite worried about the new variant. So I think we're going to be allowed to train if everyone tests negative on day eight, I think it is. Correct me if I'm wrong, Henry. But so it will be slightly better. So my quarantine in Australia, we weren't allowed out of the room at all until I think day 13 it was. So being able to train towards the back end of the quarantine is going to make a huge difference. And I think there's an outdoor space as well that can be used to get out and about once we've tested negative after a few days. So yeah, it's tough. The girls are preparing for it. There's lots of support in place for everyone in terms of having strategies to cope with it. And we've obviously experienced bubble life as well, which is kind of similar, where you could only go out and walk and do laps of the cricket pitch. So I imagine it'll be a little bit like that. So yeah, it's something that we have to do at the moment. It's obviously not ideal and probably won't be a super pleasant experience, but we've got the carrot at the end of it that we can go out and live as normal human beings in New Zealand and obviously play cricket.
And of course, only the 5 T20s with the West Indies last summer. I mean, have you got concerns about how the domestic summer though is going to take place with the current situation? Because it's pretty bad, isn't it, here right now?
Yeah, it is. I think one thing I've learned in the pandemic is you can't look too far ahead because things change so very quickly. So, yeah, obviously women's cricket in this country is so hopeful that we can get those tournaments on. The 100 is obviously due to start again this year, and the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy. And we've got a couple of series planned for us as well. So it's going to be quite a busy summer if it can go ahead. But yeah, there's not a lot we can do about that now. We've just got to hope things improve with obviously the positive news about the vaccine.
And just one last one. The government are trying to clamp down on celebrations in professional elite sport right now, particularly in football. But I mean, the guys in Sri Lanka are trying to, you know, do their bit as well. But I mean, how difficult is that for you as a professional sportsman to curb the celebrations when it must come naturally?
Yeah, I think sometimes you kind of forget when you're in the moment, obviously, what's going on. But sometimes perceptions are very important in sports. So, it can be tricky to forget that you're in a pandemic when you've been tested in or in a relatively what you think might be a safe environment. But, perceptions are often quite key.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. Just on the question around this summer coming, we'll announce our two series in the next couple of weeks. Like the men's fixtures that have been announced, they're not currently scheduled to be in biosecure bubbles. They're just around the country. However, obviously, if the situation were to change, we could always revert to that model. So in terms of things happening, and as Heather says, who knows where this thing goes, but in terms of things happening, I'm pretty confident England men and England women will have full summers, whether they're in front of fans or in bubbles. Raph, please.
Okay. So Nat Siva is going to be taking on the role of vice-captain for this tour in the absence of Anya. Do you see that as kind of preparing her to take on the full captaincy in the future? And do you think that she has the qualities to be a future captain of England?
Yeah, there's no doubt Nat's a huge leader in the group for us. I think she's really flourished for me over the last 2 years. She's someone that I'd go to on and off the pitch to chat things through and get her opinion on things. And she's a real leader in the group in the way she goes about things, how she trains, the intensity that she brings is outstanding. So, I'm looking forward to having her by my side in New Zealand and bouncing things off her. And I hope she doesn't change a thing because she's already a leader in this group. In terms of the future, who knows? But it's a great chance for her to keep developing and keep growing like she has done in the last few years.
Can I grab one more, Henry? Heather, you were quoted in the FICA report over the weekend alongside Alyssa Healy about things that you want to see changing in women's cricket. If you were put on the ICC board tomorrow and you could change one thing in global women's cricket, what would it be?
Oh, put me on the spot. There's probably a few things. I don't know what the main one would be. Potentially, in terms of the scheduling, would be the main one, I think. In terms of, there's been a lot of cluster scheduling in women's cricket where there's periods. It's a little bit different for us, but a lot of countries have a lot of fixtures at one time, then they have nothing for even 4, 5, 6 months at a time sometimes. So I think nailing down future tour structures and obviously incorporating global tournaments in that, I think is quite important at the moment. There was one quite worrying stat I think I read in the FICA report. I think it was a percentage of how many players would choose to go freelance over playing for their country. I can't remember what the figure is off the top of my head, but it seemed quite high for me. So that's quite a worrying thing. And if we can, well, if the global game can get the women's scheduling right, then I think it's enabling at the moment those competitions to be a part of the international schedule. And I think that will benefit the women's game at the moment. I think probably it shouldn't be something that's, it should be something that has a time limit, I think, because as the game goes, I think we need to be really adaptable. But I think certainly for a short period of time at the moment, I think having those windows for tournaments like the 100, hopefully and some sort of IPL in the future and the Women's Big Bash would benefit the global game.
Thank you.
Thanks, Raph. And Molly to finish, please.
Hi, Heather. Thanks for your time. Just a quick one. I mean, it's kind of been covered, I guess, by everyone when you kind of spoke about your relief at the beginning. But I mean, seeing other kind of sports really struggle to put on international fixtures. I mean, looking at the Women's Six Nations, for example, which yesterday was kind of officially put on hold. I mean, how much confidence then does it give you to know that you've got so much to look forward to this year in the way of kind of international cricket? Fingers crossed it all goes ahead. But yeah, to have this first to look forward to in New Zealand, but then kind of down the line, the schedule is looking pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, we had quite a lot of uncertainty, as everyone did during the peak of the pandemic from March. So to know what you've got coming up as a cricket player is brilliant. I think the ECB have been outstanding in supporting the women's game as it as it has done the men's, to get us back playing and to have that full schedule coming up is really great. And we count ourselves as a team as so lucky, because it's not the case for everyone around the world. There's some boards that have been brilliant and making sure they're getting women's cricket on. And there's a series going on, South Africa, Pakistan, which is great to see. And as a player, you want a strong global game. And yeah, obviously COVID's potentially affected that a little bit. You hope it won't, but it's really important that we get that cricket on. And as a player, it's great to obviously look forward and think what trips we have coming up and obviously how to plan for what's going to be a huge year, hopefully next year, of global competitions.
Definitely. Well, good luck with the quarantine and getting on that plane as well.
Thanks, Moni.
Thanks, Moni. Just one more, actually, Heather. Stefan, please.
Hi, Heather. Referring back to the FICA report. Sorry, I've just got a toddler in the background. Two things that the report says is that, I know this is referring more to the global game rather than necessarily referring to England and the ECB, but five key findings, two of them, that the pace of change is slow and that the majority of players feel that improvements to remuneration, facilities and coaching are needed. Just wondered what you think about both of those things, both, you know, the pace of change and, those comments on remuneration, facilities and coaching.
I think one important thing to note with the FICA report, it was a survey that was done, I can't remember when, but it was at least over a year ago, maybe 2 years, I can't remember exactly the year. But for me, those comments, I think, were more in terms of the ICC than the ECB. I think for me, the rate of change with the ECB over the last couple of years has been great, obviously with the introduction of the contracts and progressions that have been made with the help of the PCA as well, and in terms of improving our contracts and conditions around those contracts has been great. Obviously, the pace of the world game from the survey suggests it's slowing down, and that's a little bit worrying, I guess, in terms of the gap growing between the nations that are more better supported than nations that aren't. So it's something I think that probably needs to be looked at by the ICC.
Thank you.